Boy, that was good, Rodney. Both those little teachings. I was thinking, let me just let Rodney take it. I'm sitting on the front row trying to decide how I'm going to change my teaching up as I go because I want to switch things up a little bit from what I planned. I get to break the rules. You know that. When you're old, there's a lot of things that don't work about being older. You know, you're like, oh, when I was younger, when I used to be able to do that. I didn't have this when I was younger, and I could do that when I was younger. But you know what? There's some advantages. There's some senior perks. And if you've been doing this 50 years, nearly 50 years like I have, you get to break the rules that you make. So preaching team, you cannot do this. But this morning, I can do this. And, you know, I have this thing where, you know, when we come to church, you don't want to hear somebody from the pulpit tell all their woes and tell everything that's going wrong. You don't want a country western song like everything's gone wrong. Their dog died and their truck broke down and their girlfriend left them and, you know, nothing is going right. You don't want that. You got enough of that all around you, maybe in your own life. And so you want something to uplift you. And so rarely will you find me or EZ telling about what's going on in our life that's not good until we've got the victory. And then we tell you what happened and we tell the truth, but we tell you where we ended up. Because see, where you start and where you end up are two very different places. But sometimes where you start, the devil uses to get you where you can never get to where you're supposed to end up. And see, that's what the devil tries to do. So this morning, I'm going to do something I hardly do, and I'm going to break my rules because I want every one of you to get where you're supposed to get and not be stopped. Because the devil is a liar, and he's bad. God tells the truth, and he's good. But see, sometimes you get confused in the middle of stuff. And so I want to talk this morning about buckets of badness and pockets of goodness. Buckets of badness and pockets of goodness. And I think I'm going to read Psalm 27 to start, but if I feel like it doesn't feel good, I'll just stop right in the middle of it. Psalm 27, New King James, Dan says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me," notice they will, "to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, you will have them. They stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart, Rodney, shall not fear. The war may rise against me." Sometimes you will be in war. But I thought God was for me. He's for you, but you're still at war. "The war may rise against me. In this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord." No matter how ugly it is around you, you can behold the beauty of the Lord. See, that's the good news of the gospel. "To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion," in the secret place. The secret place. There's buckets of badness, but there's pockets, secret places of goodness. "In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. And I will sing." Yes, I will sing in the midst of difficulty. I will sing in the midst of turmoil and trouble. I will sing in the midst of devastation. My weapon is a melody. I will sing praises to the Lord. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away in anger." He won't. "You have been my help. Do not leave me." He said he wouldn't. "Do not forsake me." He promised he won't. "O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother, or even those I love, forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. False witnesses will rise against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Not just the goodness on the other side, the goodness here. No matter all the badness, buckets of badness around me. But I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, maybe this morning all is going well for you. And maybe you are, you know, Joel Osteen is John Osteen's son. John went to be with the Lord. EZ was friends with John Osteen. John was a firecracker. He was fun. And Joel delivers a different kind of message, but it reaches a lot of people. and it gets them to come in. See, now, once you come in, there's some places you got to go, but it gets them to come in. And Joel wrote a book called Your Best Life Now. But some of us could write a book called Our Worst Life Now, because every once in a while, you feel like that's what you're in, my worst life now. And see, if you live long enough, it's likely that there will be times that you wouldn't characterize as living your best life now. And you wish you were, but you're not. But the truth is this, God's love is the same. Whether you're writing, my best life, everything, God bless me, I have favor. This happened, I prayed for that raise and they doubled it. I needed a new car and I got one better than I ever thought, and they were even doing it at 0.0005 interest rate. You might go, everything's going my way. But when it's not, nothing about God has changed. Nothing about God has changed. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So see, the psalm doesn't bear out or give credence to the fact that you'll never have difficulty or distress or hardship of any kind. When I was first born again, I knew people had this steady diet of testimonies, and these testimonies were good. And it's a vehicle that we used to get people to come into the kingdom, and people would tell about how, God did this for them and God did that for them. And I had a friend that, like, didn't have money to fix her microwave or her appliance. No, her air conditioner. And she goes, I just didn't know, and my air conditioner, and it was the middle of summer, and I went out and I laid hands on it, and it just began to run in the name of Jesus. But see, then the next person can't think if they got to call a repairman, God doesn't love them. See, God will break through the natural sometimes and do something supernatural and divinely intervene. But that does not mean you don't live in a regular world, okay? And see, I remember somebody said, I was on this dark road and I realized I was running out of gas and I was frightened and I was going to put me and my kids in danger. And I just prayed, God, can you just please get us to the next town, even though we're on empty? And he did. But that doesn't mean you're not supposed to fill up because you're cheap and you want to save money on gas and you expect God to get you somewhere. You see, there's a divine intervention and a miraculous that takes place, but we still live in the natural and we still need to do common sense things. And so I know that people have heard when they're sick, somebody give a healing testimony, and they'll go, well, that didn't happen to me. I go, the other day, Easy goes, not yet. Not yet. See, because it's like Cammy talks about the meantime. Maybe in their testimony, they told you what they had, and they told you where they ended. But they didn't tell you about the middle. They didn't tell you about the middle. They didn't tell you what they went through to get there. And so you're just thinking, golly, that happened to them. But, you know, it might have been a while. It might have taken some application of faith. It might have taken some fasting and some prayer. It might have taken them hearing from God. It might have taken a word of knowledge. It might have taken them going to a church service and being diligent and waiting to hear from God. See, they don't always tell you about the middle. So, you know, George Mueller had orphanages, and they didn't have enough food to feed the kids, and there were 300 of them in an orphanage, and somebody said, we're just out of milk, we're out of bread, and he goes, kids, sit down and let's just thank God for the food. And there was no food, and the kids sat at the table and prayed and thanked God for the food, and there was a knock at the door. And somebody brought in milk, and there was another knock, and somebody brought in eggs, and somebody brought in butter. And see, but that doesn't mean you don't have to go to the store and cook. So if we're not careful, we can think God's not being good to us when natural things are happening around us. When natural things are happening around us and it's not supernatural. I remember there was a couple that wasn't tithing, and I convinced them that they were in disobedience. They were in disobedience. No matter how you slice it, they were in disobedience. So they agreed. They really didn't want to be in disobedience anymore, and they started tithing. And 3 weeks later, they came to me and they go, well, it doesn't work. I go, what? They go, it doesn't work. Our refrigerator went out. And I'm like, excuse me? So they believed if God was going to rebuke their fire, none of their appliances would ever break. Their car would never need a repair. Their clothes would what? You see, we get this false idea of how God is supposed to do things, when really sometimes it's a matter of how we do things in the midst of what the devil is doing to us. And God has already told us that. So if we don't want to start thinking that God's not being good to us when bad things happen, because bad things happen to good people. They do. But the key here is, what are the good people going to do when the bad things happen? So about 5 months ago, Easy was in our downstairs bathroom, and he was wearing his slippery socks. There were these socks we had agreed he should never wear on that tile because he could always slide and slip. But he had bought some new shoes, and they were little, new tennis shoes. They were a little tighter, and so he put on the slippery socks because they were thinner, and we just both forgot because it had been about a year and a half since he had slipped on that tile and broken the toilet tank, and the water went everywhere. And after a year and a half, we just forgot, and he put on the slippery socks, and he was in that same bathroom with that same tile and slipped and broke the same toilet tank all over again that we had replaced. And it went everywhere, and shards of porcelain were everywhere, and a flood was in my bathroom. And I had to hold on to Easy and trying to get the water to stop. And John is the last person that tightened it. And he tightened the water thing so tight you can't move it. And so, therefore, I couldn't even get the water off and hold on to Easy. And he was getting water up to his ankles, sort of like Ezekiel, but not quite the same thing. And I called Alan, and he goes, "Jule and I are at Memorial City. I'm coming." I go, "Forget it, forget it. I got this. While I'm cleaning up the mess, Alan and Julia walk in, and after about 10 or 15 minutes, start helping us clean up the mess. So we have a flood in our bathroom, and when we're about through, Julia walks out into my hall, and water pours down on her head. And we're like, "Well, this is interesting." And so we didn't know why, and it took a few days, but water started pouring out of the walls, and we found out that our AC overflow pipe had clogged inside the wall upstairs, and was all the water had released itself in between the two floors. So we had sheetrock and ceilings and walls that we had to pull out. And so, you know, I found a toilet tank. You know, there was one left in the United States, and I had to pay a dear price for it that fit our older toilet, but I got it. That was coming in. John was going to put it in. It took about 6 or 7 weeks to get all the insulation, the wet insulation, because we had spray-in insulation, not the normal batting kind, and it was just sprayed in it, so it's like snow. When you get all that little insulation, like cellulose, all wet, it's just heavy and dirty, and I mean, it just pours down like buckets of badness. And so it's pouring out, but, you know, we get it all fixed. It takes about 6 weeks. My entry hall is like a demolition zone and a few of the rooms around there, and I told Alan, "Wow, everything's back to normal," because I love order. Order is one of my, like, primo things, order, neatness, and cleanness. And, it's normal again. And then Beryl comes, you know, the storm, and it didn't do damage to many people in our area, but it did to me. And so the water came in sideways through my dining room doors, went down the wall of the threshold, went into the TV room, and we didn't know it till the electricity came back on and the power surge thing started buzzing, and we found that the whole carpet underneath the media center was all wet under there. And so we start pulling up the carpet, and we're like, "Oh, my God." Well, we didn't realize it. Then another room had water in the walls. And so I won't even go into the exhaustive list, because the exhaustive list will exhaust you. I had three rooms. I had doors out in my dining room on a second floor balcony, so we just had boards. I had sheetrock out in a guest bedroom. And then I had the whole wall out in the TV room, as well as part of the ceiling. And so this is like a mess everywhere. And order is, you know, like my happy place. And so at the exact same time, I was driving, and I was like, "Oh, something's wrong with my tire. It says low pressure." And there was a nail in my tire. And I drive over to Sterling McCall Lexus, and I go, "Can y'all get this nail out?" And they go, "Oh, it's in the sidewall of the run flat. Can't fix that. Need two new tires." And I go, "Why two? Just one." He goes, "They quit making your kind of tire. We're going to have to put two." And so, you know, to make it balance, I'm like, all right. But then my microwave broke, and I'm tithing, but, you know, my microwave broke. Okay. And then we call the Electrolux repairman, and they don't make that part anymore. It's a 4-year-old microwave, but they don't make that part anymore. And so, you know, that happened. And then what else? Let me see. Okay, like, it's a lot. And then in the middle of it, you know, we went to a healing meeting in Dallas, and while we were there, Easy didn't seem normal. And when we got back, it was because he was sick. And he ended up having a really bad infection, and he goes in the hospital. It's going towards sepsis. We're at a healing meeting, and he's in the middle of sepsis. Like, what? And I'm like, "Wait, God, I prayed for the waters of revival, not to pour through my walls. Lord," and we said, "a healing revival, not that when we go to a healing meeting, Easy sick. Come on." And so we end up, after the healing meeting, he's in the hospital for 5 days. And so we get home, and he's got to have, you know, antibiotics shoved into this midline in his body, and I have to learn to do medical stuff that's not my thing. And so I start pretending I'm a nurse, like Cammie or David or something, at my house. And we look like we're a hospital room set up. And we're like, "Wait, We're the healing people. What's wrong with this picture? And so we had one thing after another. And then remember, you know, he thought he was doing better than he was because he was really feeling good finally. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So he decided he didn't need certain supports, and he walked without them and fell and busted his arms up. Hold your arms up, honey. Hold your arms up. There. All right. This is my, I can now bandage wounds, y'all. I can bandage. So if anything happens, I can. Thank you. Thank you, Court. I can bandage wounds. So I'm learning all these new skills that I didn't want to learn. And I'm having all these things happen that I didn't want to happen. Okay, and in the midst of it, it could be very easy to get discouraged and to get dismayed and to think, what is going on? Like, wait, God, I got hard hits to my house. I got huge financial hits because once they started fixing all the walls and all the sheetrock, they started checking other things and they found out that my deck supports were rotten and my deck was rotten and my sidewall needed fixing and my support under my office floor, they pushed through it and you could push a hole in it. And I live in a 48-year-old house. And so wood that was put in there 48 years ago is now going. And so we had to start fixing it. And every week my contractor would tell me a new problem, and I trust him. He's not making this up. And so we're now at $108,000 worth of repairs. Yet in the midst of it, I keep hearing songs in my head about the goodness of God. About the goodness of God. And in the midst of it, there'll be a day when my contractor's supposed to come, but Easy has a doctor appointment, and this other guy is supposed to come to give me an estimate on the other thing that needs to be fixed. And if it all happens at a certain moment, my life is going to just blow up in flames. But one guy is late, and the doctor says, can you please come 15 minutes later? And things just work out that it's manageable, that it's bearable. Like, little things start happening that it makes it workable. It's not fun, but I can do this. Okay, with God, I can do this. God, you're with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But if it hadn't worked that way, I couldn't have done it. See, it would have blown up. I wouldn't have had him where he needed to be, and the guy would have been at my house knocking, and I wouldn't be there, and I wouldn't get the estimate. But little things start moving around, just moving around. So it gives you a path to walk through. In the midst of all that's pressing in on you, you have a spot you can at least walk through. Okay, see, that's the goodness of God. And so I keep hearing these songs in my head, and I think Jen Johnson wrote one of them, and it was, we've sung it here. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so. See, he's not going to stop now. All my life he's been faithful. He's not going to stop when I'm 72 and he's 91. He's not going to stop. So I don't care what your age is or what your stage is. Remember, he's not going to stop. All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing it. And so while the contractors tell me we found more rotten wood, I go, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing. And I mean, it kept me okay because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, there was nothing around me that looked joyful. There was no news I was getting that was joyful. But if I could have a song in my heart, I could make it. I could make it. See, where do you go when things get tough? Your goodness is running after me. One time, Sandy told me, I never pictured God's goodness running after me. See, sometimes things are running so fast, he has to run after you. Go, wait, in the midst of all this calamity and chaos, I got some goodness for you. See, it's okay. You can do this. You can make it. And so I saw the Lord's goodness in the midst of it all at every turn. I couldn't get the songs about goodness out of my head. Even this one court, maybe, you know, when I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think about his goodness, and I want to dance. I'm like, I dance in the middle of it. It's old. I'm old, Alan. If I'm old and it's old, it works. Okay. And so the goodness of God kept weaving itself through my ugly calamity and calamities that continued to mount up. See, my sister said, I'm just praying that all these downpours of events just quit. Downpour was the right word. It was like a downpour. See, buckets. It's like the badness can come in bucketfuls. But see, God says there's a pocket of goodness. Now, what's in your pocket is maybe everybody doesn't see it. Everybody can see the buckets of badness. They can come to my house and see the plastic and the boards and the insulation. But what's in my pocket, you may not notice it, but it's there. and it comforts me, and it's right near my heart, and I can just peek inside and go, I need a little bit right now, God. And so he gives it to me, and he comforts me, and he loves me, and he says, you can do this. I'm with you. My goodness is in your pocket. Buckets of badness, but pockets of goodness. I'm going to skip some of this. Exodus 34:6. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. James 1:17, everything good comes from God. Psalm 119:68 and Luke 11:13 bear these facts out. He is good. He does good. He gives good gifts to his children. See, goodness is often defined as that which works for the benefit or the betterment of others. The Hebrew word tov, T-O-V, pleasant, beautiful, beneficial. The Greek word, agathosunai, an uprightness of life and heart, the definitions of goodness. And see, God does not change, and he has not changed his character, and he has not changed his plan for you when something bad comes your way. See, he doesn't. And so the goodness is not just at my house. I mean, excuse me, the badness. I started reading the news. Oh, God, the badness. Like, it's depressing. It's disappointing. It's troubling when you start reading of the ministers that are toppling from their places because of sexual inappropriateness or moral sin or failure. And you're like, wait, what is going on? Is it this bad? It's like grievous. It's grievous. And no, we don't just believe baseless accusation, but now we have proven problematic, troubling, disqualifying things. And so then it was one, and then another, and then another, and then another, and another, and another. And you're like, whoa, when's it going to stop? And then you read the news, and you have a whole genre of music. The news reports sound like pornography, and it's so evil and disgusting. You're like, how could this have gone on for so many people involved? How could this cover-up have happened? And you're like, it's badness. It feels slimy. It just feels slimy all around you. Where do you go? God, your goodness hasn't changed. Your goodness hasn't changed. Though they fall at my right and my left, Lord, you are the same. And see, you got to have somewhere to hide. Hide me in your tabernacle, God, when all this is going on around me. Not that you hide sin. Let sin be exposed. See, let light come. Let darkness flee. But Lord, I want to hide in your goodness. I want to keep that pot. Even I don't want to get jaded. I don't want to get cynical. I don't want to get all negative and down and let my words just speak curses when everything's going bad around me. I need to keep myself where I need to be, no matter where they are. Buckets of badness. See, somebody said, if you're standing on a bucket and you feel like a noose is around your neck, don't kick it because you'll die. So you don't stand on a bucket. You stand on the goodness of God. See, if you stand too long on the bucket, you start to feel like you're dying. It's a bad perspective. And so badness defined, poor quality, low standard, lack or failure to conform to moral virtue, wickedness, evil. We've seen it at every level. You add one letter to evil, I want to throw in, and you have devil. The devil is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you, even if you're not in the middle of the badness, just because you're seeing it. See, you become like what you behold, and you don't want to look too long at all the things that are negative without glancing back at what's positive and what's godly. Or it will get into you and on you, and you will become like that. And so you must let the goodness comfort of God comfort and sustain you. God's goodness represents everything that he is, everything that he has, and everything he desires for us to experience. His very nature is goodness, just like he was talking about he's love this morning. But in the garden, the enemy worked really hard to get Adam and Eve to doubt that God had their best interest at heart. And he wanted them to quit trusting God. And once Eve questioned God's goodness toward her, it was easy to quit relying on God's word and God's truth. So if you, in the midst of badness, start questioning God's goodness to you, it will be easy to quit relying on his word and his truth. He does the exact same thing with us. He doesn't have a lot of new tricks. They're very similar patterns. So when we experience difficult circumstances, it is a very opportune time for the devil to plant doubt, to plant confusion in us about the nature of God. And see, all morning during worship, it was very different this morning. It was very different. Last week, man, we hit this powerful place. Kirk, your teaching was awesome. I listened to it again last night. I loved it. But see, this morning, God says, wait, I have something else in mind. I want to get my love so close to you that you embrace it. See, he wanted to display a part of his character and nature to us so that we don't just know about him, but know him and know who he is and know that it's unchanging and don't doubt it. So the nature of man, see, the nature of God, he doesn't want us confused about. The nature of man, however, is this. You see what you want to see. In a trial proceeding, prosecutors can find a lot of damning evidence. Defense lawyers can find a lot of alibis. Guilty people find somebody to blame. You know, when you're pregnant, you see all the baby strollers. You see, you know, if you buy some new cowboy boots, you see everybody with boots. Easy didn't let me know he had cowboy boots when we were married because he knew that wasn't. John said, well, that was smart. I go, that was deceptive. Don goes, no, that was smart. Okay, because I didn't really like cowboy stuff. No offense to you, Russell, over there. Okay, but I mean, like, but Easy showed me his sophisticated side. He told me about how he went to Paris and New York. He didn't tell me till after we got married that he didn't like Paris and New York and he liked the rodeo. But anyway, all right. So, but you see what you want to see. Especially you people in love. All right, but if you're looking for confirmation for something you want to do, you will find it. And maybe you'll even find a scripture to back it up, unless you have weaned your soul well. And weaned your soul means you shut it up because it's clamoring out. And there's a carnal man and a spiritual man. But the spiritual man is like Jesus. I see only what my Father does. See, that's what he says. I see only what my Father does. That's what I keep my eyes on. So in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of disease, in the midst of dismay, in the midst of disappointment, you've got to train yourself to find God's goodness in the midst of it all so that you can see his goodness and know that it hasn't changed. And if you do, it will change your life. The Bible says, surely his goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. It will not fail you. I want to end with this. Exodus 33:18. Moses asked God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. God responded, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I might be in a glorious service and something spectacular happens, but God doesn't just want me to know what he does. He wants me to know who he is. He wants me to know his goodness because it's not just a one-time thing he does. It's a forever thing he is. And so, God, let us have a revelation of your goodness. Let us not just see your glory, but let us see your goodness, God. If it were not for your goodness, I would have fainted in the land of the living. But because I believed I would see your goodness, I can make it. Because I believed I could see your goodness, I can go on. Because I believed I could see your goodness, I'll hold on to your promises. So, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that every word you say is true. You are not a man that you would lie or the son of a man that you would repent. And we rely and rest in and receive and embrace your goodness today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen.